So we open up our Bibles to Romans and chapter 12. Our theme today is that of community. And I'm going to read from Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. We pray that what we have read may become for us the living word of God. So this morning we continue a series of reflections on the church values. Jesus welcome, community, inclusive involvement and journey. And today we focus on the theme of community. We are committed to making authentic relationships vulnerable yet available to one another. And today really is an invitation. It's an invitation for all of us. It's an invitation to us if we are on the fringes of this believing community to step further inwards. It's an invitation to you. It's an invitation to those who feel like they're on the edges. You are welcome and come. You're welcome to come in. It's an invitation to you. But it's an invitation to those who are very much part of the community, involved in various ways, to continue your journey, focused upon Jesus, of journeying together with the rest of us, that together we might use our gifts to bless one another. We might give all that we can to be a blessing. So today is an invitation to each and every one of us. First off, in this community, we are Jesus-centered. Now you might say, well, yeah, thanks. We know that. But here's the thing. In this community, we are quite deliberately and consciously Jesus-centered. He is at the center of who we are, what we do, how we think, how we act. We are Jesus-centered. So what that means is that we prioritize the teaching and the lifestyle, all that we can learn from Jesus that we read in the Bible. Now, the truth is that for each of us, when we read the Bible, as I trust we do, when we read the Bible, the reality and the truth is that we do prioritize certain parts of the Bible above other parts of the Bible. And an illustration of this would be, when was the last time you read Leviticus? Anyone? Any volunteers? Go on. Somebody's going to say you had it this morning in your readings, aren't you? No? And you might think, why would I read Leviticus? So I read it once and it didn't have much to say. You see, we prioritize other parts of the Bible over the parts that we may find difficult. As we read the Bible, there may be some passages in the Bible that we really don't understand, that puzzle us. And we're curious about them, but they puzzle us. And we think, oh, crap, I don't understand that. Until somebody explains it, I'm just going to give it a miss. And so we prioritize other parts of the Bible above those parts that perhaps we don't understand. Sometimes there are parts of the Bible that we find difficult because they are so challenging to us. And we think, you know, I'll put those down to one side. I'll look at these nice verses instead, or whatever it is. So we do prioritize. What I have sought to do on my spiritual journey as a pastor, as a minister, as I have followed Jesus, increasingly prioritizing the teaching and the lifestyle of Jesus. I am a Christian. We are Christians. We are called to be disciples of Jesus. We're encouraged in Hebrews, fix your thoughts upon Jesus and then fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We are to fix our thoughts and our eyes upon Jesus. We are to read what he taught. We are to seek in every way that we can to obey the teaching of Jesus above all else. We are encouraged as disciples of Jesus to figure out how to put into action the teaching of Jesus in practical ways. And also seek to model his lifestyle within our own lives. And so we look at Jesus and say, how did he live? How did he relate to people? How did he respond? And we seek to do that for ourselves. And so we are Jesus-centered. And we prioritize the teaching and lifestyle of Jesus. As somebody once put it, we read the Bible through the filter of Jesus. That's what we do. We read the Bible, we interpret the entirety of the Bible through Jesus. He is the focus, he is the center of all that we are and do. But you'll also note, I've put up there, center, not boundary. We're focused on the center, which is Jesus, rather than the boundaries. I grew up within a tradition, and this would be true of many folk, I grew up within a church tradition that I realize now was more obsessed with the boundaries than the center. More obsessed with who was in and who was out. More obsessed with guarding the boundary, gatekeeping who came in and who didn't. It was about purity. It was about who's good enough. Who do we exclude? And there was, subtly sometimes, overtly other times, an obsession about the boundaries. If we say we are Jesus-centered, our concern is with the center. And we are instructed, fix your thoughts, not on the boundaries. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, the center. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He is at the center. Jesus will look after who comes in and who goes out. And our concern is more, are people traveling towards Jesus? Are people traveling more towards Jesus rather than who is in and who is out? So in this community, we are and we seek to be Jesus-centered. In this community, you are welcome. In this community, you are welcome. In this community, you are welcome because Jesus welcomes you. And this follows very much from a concern about the center rather than the boundaries, about who we are focused on rather than who is in or who is out. In this community, you are welcome because the one we have our eyes and thoughts fixed upon, Jesus, because he welcomes you. Jesus welcomes you and says, come sit with me, learn from me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will in no wise turn you away. Freely come. We welcome you because Jesus welcomes you. And as we say in this community, you are welcome, we declare the word of God, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. What that means is that anything that might hold you back from following Jesus, any guilt or any shame that might hold you back, you are forgiven. It is washed away. You are cleansed of all that you've done wrong in the name of Jesus. And God declares this forgiveness over you, and we simply speak his word. You are forgiven. And on what basis does God forgive you? God forgives you because he loves you. God does not need anything else. He forgives because he forgives. Because of the nature of his immense, extraordinary, wonderful love. There is nothing that God holds against you. And God doesn't want there to be anything in your life that you hold against yourself or somebody else holds against you as you seek to follow Jesus. In this community, you are welcome. You're welcome because Jesus welcomes you. You're welcome and you are forgiven. And what that means is that it doesn't matter what your gender is, your race, your sexuality, your status, your nationality, your family, your story, your identity. I guess the list could go on. It does not matter. Because Jesus welcomes you. And we know that. We know this is true. Because Jesus has welcomed us. Jesus has welcomed you and you and you. Jesus has welcomed each one of us without regard for our gender, our race, our sexuality. No questions were asked about our status or nationality or family or story or identity. We are welcomed. Come. all you who are weary, come, all of you. If you are thirsty, come and drink. Such is the word of Jesus. In this community, you are welcome. And in this community, we journey. In this community, we journey. Now, this is the sixth of our values, is journey. And we have this as a value because it reminds us that we have not yet arrived and we are not yet complete. Now, it may be that you look at me and think, yeah, that's true. We can see it every week, every time we see you. Yeah, I haven't arrived and I know it. I'm not yet complete and I know it. God is still working in my life. And I am so glad that God is patient with me. I'm so glad that God is still working in me. And today, you need to be encouraged with that reality, that we journey. We continue to follow Jesus. We lay down waymarks to say, I've not yet arrived, but I'm further on than I was. I've taken steps forward. We lay down waymarks to say, I'm not yet complete. There is much in me that needs to be corrected or changed or improved or blessed. But I'm not the person I was a year ago or 10 years ago. God is in the process of changing me. And so we journey and we seek to have patience with one another, don't we? We seek to have patience with one another, with all our quirks, with all our weird tendencies, with all the strangeness that we sometimes experience in our own lives and in the lives of others. And we say, do you know, we're on a journey. We're on a journey together when we haven't yet arrived. And it also means that we haven't perfected all that we believe about God. There's so much yet to learn about God. During my Christian life, I've said this kind of thing before, but during my Christian life, having given my life to Jesus when I was 12 years old, and I think, crikey, it's a long time ago. How long? Nearly 50 years ago. I know I don't look old enough. But nearly 50 years ago, I first gave my life to Jesus. And I've given my life to Jesus many times. You know, many times I've given my life again and again and again to Jesus. And I've read the Bible, studied the Bible. I've reflected and researched and studied and prayed. And I've sought to learn more and more. And the truth is, the more I know, the more I realize how little I know. Anybody else there? The more I know about God, the more I realize how little I know. I was speaking to somebody just a short while ago, and they were talking about another church, and they said, we had a pastor once who said, I know what I believe, and I'm never going to change. And I thought, crikey, you've got it sorted, you've arrived, you've got it. And what I've realized is that I hold, in a sense, loosely to so much of what I believe about God, because God is greater, more vast, more extraordinary, more wonderful than ever I could imagine. And I want to be open to God increasing my understanding and my sight of Him. And I want to be generous where I differ from other people and other people differ from my perspective. I want us all to be generous, to say we haven't arrived, we haven't got it complete, we haven't got it nailed down. There is so much more to learn. To learn intellectually, but to learn in terms of our own lives and our love of God and our understanding of that love within us. And so in this community, we journey. And then finally, in this community, we seek not to be right, but to be in right relationship. We seek not to be right, but to be in right relationship. Whenever somebody came to Jesus and said, "How do I enter the kingdom of heaven? How do I enter the kingdom of God? How do I inherit eternal life? How can I know that I belong?" It was never about being right. Because, you know, when we think we're right, do you know what that automatically does? It suggests you're wrong. And a lot of us, let's face it, we like it. We like being right. And there's that sneaky part of us where we don't mind other people being wrong because that just reinforces that I'm right. But Jesus never gave that sense. You need to be right. But always, you need to be in right relationship. You need to be in right relationship. So Jesus said, what must you do? You must love God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Be in right relationship with God. You must love your neighbor even as you love yourself. Jesus said to his disciples, "This commandment I give you. Love. Love one another." The disciples came to Jesus, "How many times should I forgive my brother?" I thought, do you know what? He's hard work. I've already forgiven him 7 times. How many times? 70 times? 70 times 7, Jesus said. It's about right relationship. And knowing that we seek not to be right, but in right relationship, humbles us. Because we can nail down, we think, being right. But being in right relationship is a lifetime's work. And we are humble before the challenge. And so we are encouraged in this particular community. We are Jesus-centered. We are Jesus-centered in this community. In this community, you are welcome. In this community, we journey. In this community, we seek not to be right, but to be in right relationship. And together, we make it happen. And for each of us, it is a lifetime's task. May we know the grace of God. We need it. May we know the grace of God as we seek to follow daily the Lord Jesus and to be a blessing to one another. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that we do not walk alone, but you call us to walk together. Father, thank you that we're not all the same. Father, thank you that we come with all our diversity, all of our difference in so many ways. Father, thank you for all that we learn of you through one another. And Father, we ask that you would be at the heart of our seeking to live out what it means to be a community. Pour out your Spirit, the Spirit of life. upon us. In the name of Christ. Amen.